It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 84 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today we're going to be discussing everything there is to know about torpedoes and missiles, why you might include them in a list, and how to effectively get value out of them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about kind of the fundamental design differences between torpedoes and missiles versus other secondary weapons as well as primary weapon attacks, look a little bit at the history, and then talk about how to use these effectively in your X-Wing games.
All right, well, let's launch right into it.
So to start off this conversation about torpedoes and missiles, I think it's important to look at the key elements of a torpedo or missile shot and compare that with primary weapon attacks as well as other different ways of dealing damage, whether it's bombs or cannon upgrades. So the first point to that is we have to look at torpedoes and missiles have inherent point costs in that each upgrade card costs a set amount of points, and they also have a finite quantity. This is typically either one or two, depending on whether or not you're running cards like extra munitions.
Right, and then the torpedo or missile will have a range restriction. The go-to is usually 2 to 3. Some even have range 1 to 3, so it can be fired at any range. Some will only be able to be fired at range 1. It's going to vary card to card. And missiles and torpedoes are also going to have a setup requirement for all of the attack headers. That means you're either going to need a target lock or a focus token, and it'll specify on the card, either attack target lock or attack focus. That means you need that token to be able to fire this card. And then some of them will require you to spend that token, and some just require you to just have it, which means you can save that token to further modify that attack. And that's an important distinction. So proton torpedo reads, attack, target lock, spend your target lock, and discard this card to perform this attack. Whereas unguided rockets just reads, attack, focus, attack one ship. So on proton torpedoes, you have to both spend your target lock and spend your proton torpedo card. Whereas unguided rockets, you don't have to spend either the focus token or even discard the card.
There might also be additional setup costs that come in the form of how you build your list. So in the case of a card like Proton Rockets, where you can add your agility value to the number of attack dice rolled, you're going to depend on having a ship with a relatively high agility. Or in the case of cruise missiles, the number of dice you roll is going to be based heavily on your movement speed that turn. So if your ship can't perform a fast maneuver, it's not going to be able to fire a particularly effective missile. Another distinction that torpedoes and missiles have is that almost universally they have built-in effects either to modify the dice or provide some of it additional benefit when you fire this torpedo or missile.
Right. So proton torpedoes lets you change one of your focus results on the attack to a critical result. And ion pulse missile reads, if your attack hits, the defender suffers 1 damage and receives 2 ion tokens and then cancel all results. And so these added effects are really what differentiate which ones you want to select for your list, whether or not you want the high damage output of the critical results from the proton torpedoes or the ability to deal more damage to shields with a plasma torpedo. These are all important list building decisions to consider.
And the last benefit that you have from firing a torpedo or missile is that you have a range bonus denial, so that when you fire your torpedo or missile at a target at range 3, they're not going to roll an additional defense dice as they would if they were being shot at with a primary weapon attack. And this is a subtle bonus, but it's actually a very important bonus because the potential damage evasion provided by that extra die, especially on a ship with a lot of token modification, can be significant. So denying that extra die means you're that much more likely to push damage or critical damage through.
Right, and this is one of the big reasons you would opt to take munitions in the first place, is that on top of the extra dice this missile or torpedo might provide, the ability to limit your opponent's defense at range 3 makes like a 4-dice proton torpedo hit significantly harder than a 3-dice primary attack at range 3.
It also enables inherently a more favorable exchange at range 3. So let's say if you and your target ship are both normal 3-dice attack ships and you're firing ordnance, you're setting up an inherently favorable exchange because not only are you going to roll more attack dice on your attack, you're also denying that defense bonus, which you're going to then receive a defense bonus if they're not firing ordnance back at you. Now, looking at these points compared to other weapon types, we can see how torpedoes and missiles contrast with the other types like bombs, cannons, or primary weapon attacks. The quantity point is a big one initially, because most secondary weapons have a finite quantity, torpedoes, missiles, and bombs usually have a limited number you can drop. There are notable exceptions, things like bomblet generator now or unguided rockets provide traditionally limited effects an unlimited number of times. These do usually come at the cost of a little bit of efficiency.
Right, so comparing torpedoes and missiles to your primary attack, they're going to be more expensive and require a bit more setup, but they're going to hit a lot harder in most cases. And then comparing them to cannons and turrets, which don't have limited uses, your missiles and torpedoes are going to be a lot more efficient points-wise, where like a proton torpedo or a concussion missile is a four-dice attack that comes in around half the points of a heavy laser cannon, which is also a four-dice attack.
So there are a lot of advantages and disadvantages when using torpedoes and missiles compared to other weapon types. Obviously, a lot of times the reason you'd use one of these is because you might not have the upgrade slot available to get those other weapon types. But also, when you have to make a decision, it depends on like the long-term effectiveness of this. So if you don't expect your ship to exist that long, you might not want to invest a lot of points in an expensive cannon or turret upgrade card. Whereas being able to drop that ordnance early, once you get its effect out there, you won't feel quite so bad when your ship gets taken off the board. But all these are important points to understand when looking at torpedoes and missiles as a whole. But it's also important to understand a little bit of the history when we're talking about these upgrade cards and how they've evolved over the course of the game.
Yeah, so torpedoes and missiles are secondary weapons that have been around since the release of the game. They initially weren't that popular, partly because primary attacks were relatively pretty efficient, and it was usually more worthwhile to spend your points on more ships than loading them out with more munitions.
Yeah, they were definitely not that popular, at least competitively, upon release. I think a lot of that fed into the fact that given the finite number of ships you had to squad build from, it wasn't always worth investing all those points if it meant it was going to basically deny you from adding that fourth or fifth ship into your list. So I think overall, in terms of consistency, like in Wave 1, having 4 X-Wings was probably a generally better value than having 3 X-Wings with some ordnance loadouts. But we saw over the history of the game several upgrade cards that came out that helped boost the effectiveness of ordnance and then kind of brought them to the forefront of the game today.
Missiles and torpedoes kind of ask a lot of the player to be able to get their value. It's not that many points for a pretty high dice pool on most of these, but on their own, that setup and one-time use usually makes them not worthwhile for players to take. However, as the game has progressed, there's become quite a few other upgrade cards that can assist and make munitions very worth your while.
So the first card we're going to look at that helped boost ordnance came in Wave 2 in the A-Wing expansion. This is Deadeye. It's a 1-point small ship only elite pilot talent upgrade card that reads, you may treat the attack target lock header as attack focus. When an attack instructs you to spend a target lock, you may spend a focus token instead.
What this gets around is the big hurdle of needing to target lock for ammunition, which is difficult because for a target lock, you need to be within range 3 to be able to take that target lock action. And if you're a lower pilot skill ship, that means you're going to be moving in first. And there's kind of a narrow maneuvering window where you need to move fast enough to get in to range 3 of your opponent to be able to take that target lock, but not move too fast where after they maneuver, then you're still in range to fire your munition.
Now, this was maybe a little less important in early X-Wing, where not a lot of low pilot skill ships had elite pilot talents, but it's become very relevant since then, where we've seen cards like the Lock Revenant Skurg at pilot skill 3 with an elite pilot talent, or the Gamma Squadron Veteran TIE Bomber at pilot skill 5 with that elite pilot talent, where they're probably not going to move after a lot of the ships they're going to face against, but having Deadeye means they don't have to move directly into range 3 to get the target lock, and they don't have to commit to a ship until they're ready to fire.
In Wave 4, we got the Munitions Failsafe card, which is a modification for 1 point that read, when attacking with a secondary weapon that instructs you to discard it to perform the attack, do not discard it unless the attack hits. Now, this was a step to get around the hurdle of munitions are expensive, and it doesn't feel worth the investment if my attack might miss.
Yeah, especially at a point in the game where you weren't necessarily getting a lot of modification on your ordnance shot. If you're firing like a proton torpedo, you might just have to get the target lock, spend it to shoot, and all you're getting is the proton torpedo's focus to crit modification. So if your attack ended up rolling two blanks, a focus and a hit, you get a hit crit and they get evaded, you felt like you wasted those points investing in that proton torpedo. The idea of this card was to, if the attack doesn't hit, you get to keep the munitions and fire again later on, potentially.
Now, this card is not generally great. There's a lot better modification options for munitions now.
Well, and most of those new modification options come in at 0 points, where I think the 1 point cost of munitions failsafe makes it kind of a hard gamble, where you're already investing a lot of points in a munition, and if they work the first time, then you've basically just wasted this 1 point on a munitions failsafe.
Right, it turns out it's better to help that first torpedo or missile hit than it is to get a second chance.
Now, in Wave 7, we saw a huge boost to munitions. So oftentimes ships wanted to carry more than one. A lot of ships had multiple munition slots, but it was a little expensive to load out multiple of the same or different munitions at their full point costs. That's where extra munitions stepped in with the K-Wing and TIE Punisher expansion to give us some more ordnance loadouts without increasing the cost too much. Extra Munitions is a 2-point limited torpedo slot upgrade, but it doesn't function like a torpedo. It reads, when you equip this card, place one ordnance token on each equipped torpedo, missile, and bomb upgrade card. When you are instructed to discard an upgrade card, you may discard one ordnance token on that card instead.
Yeah, so this did a lot for munitions, where munitions failsafe kind of gave you, you know, at least one munition to hit. Extra Munitions gives you the potential for two full munitions to go off. And then it gets even crazier if you have more than one missile or torpedo card equipped.
Yeah, so like at its most basic level, it just functions as a copy of another ordnance. So let's say you have a Y-Wing, you put a proton torpedo on there, and then you put an extra munitions. The extra munitions functionally works as a cheaper copy of proton torpedo. But if you're a ship that can take a lot of ordnance or bombs, suddenly you're getting multiple copies for just that 2-point cost.
Right, and it also made the more expensive munitions more appealing, whereas a lot of points to spend on either a homing missile at 5 points or advanced proton torpedo at 6 points, but getting that second copy for just 2 points with extra munitions made those investments a little bit more appealing.
Now, extra munitions was a huge step forward for torpedoes and missiles, but we saw an even bigger step forward in Wave 8 with the TIE Advanced Prototype and Jumpmaster 5000 in the form of a modification called Guidance Chips.
Guidance Chips reads, once per round, when attacking with a torpedo or missile secondary weapon, you may change one die result to a hit result or a critical result if your primary weapon value is 3 or higher.
So this is a really big step forward for ordnance for a couple of reasons. First off, that 0 point cost on the modification is a huge advantage over something like munitions failsafe, which came in at 1. And like you said, Carson, guidance chips is a better benefit in that it helps that first missile hit rather than just giving you another opportunity to set up another shot like munitions failsafe did.
Right. And so the efficiency of munitions was something that they struggled with forever because a lot of them required you to spend an action to fire that attack. And so it's hard to get much value out of a 4-dice attack if you have no modification. Your average is about 2 hits. And, you know, maybe a little bit better if you can change one focus to a crit or something with a proton torpedo. But it was still, for the points you invest into munition, you really want them to get their maximum number of hits. So you, for a 4-dice torpedo or missile, you want to get 4 hits.
Well, and often to generate those 4 hits, you're going to need 2 sources of modification, preferably. And guidance chips allows for that. Oftentimes, ships that are carrying ordnance didn't need to use that modification slot. So putting on the 0 point guidance chips was a no-brainer. And suddenly, if you had ordnance where you set up a focus target lock, had to spend the target lock to shoot, you had 2 sources of modification, one from the focus token you had remaining, and then one from guidance chips to convert some results.
Yeah, so guidance chips pairs really well with all those munitions that have a little bit of built-in modification and is also pretty extraordinary with the ones that don't require you to spend the token. So cards like homing missile or proton rockets where you get to save your token and modify it during the attack, you can do that. And then if there's any remaining results that didn't convert to a hit or crit, you can then convert with guidance chips.
And guidance chips is an important benchmark in X-Wing history. It was kind of starting with the release of guidance chips and Wave 8 as a whole that we saw Ordnance really come to the forefront of X-Wing and has been a persistent force in X-Wing since then.
But it's not without competition in the modification slot for munitions. We also got long-range scanners with Imperial Veterans, which is another zero-point modification that can only be equipped if you have both a missile and torpedo slot in your upgrade bar. And it reads, you can acquire target locks on ships at range 3 and beyond. You cannot acquire target locks on ships at range 1 to 2.
And this effectively allowed you to set up target locks from your first turn. So you could choose a target you wanted to get a target lock on turn 1, and then you're ready to fire your ordnance later on. This is really beneficial, especially for ships that don't have elite pilot talents, like low pilot skill bombers or Miranda Donnie, where suddenly you could get your ordnance ready to fire from your first turn and then take other actions throughout the rest of the game.
Right. This addresses the same effect that Deadeye does in it's hard to get that target lock on the same turn you want to set up your munition strike. It does still make you commit to a ship, whereas Deadeye gave you some flexibility on who you wanted to target. But it does free up your elite pilot talent slot or work on ships that don't have an elite pilot talent. And I think now that we're seeing munitions that can get up to 5 dice on them, I think there is some extra value in long-range scanners where that ability to have both a target lock and a focus on that attack, where, say, a 5-dice cruise missile that doesn't require you to spend that target lock, I think that is better modification than having just the target lock and guidance chips, because guidance chips just modifies one result, whereas a target lock and a focus, I think, have a better chance of getting you to 5 hits.
So those are the primary upgrade cards that came out that help munitions. Obviously, we can't ignore that more efficient versions of munitions came out as the game advanced. One of the first really efficient munitions that came out was the Proton Rockets upgrade card from the Rebel Aces expansion. This is a 3-point missile card that reads, attack, focus, discard this card to perform this attack. You may roll additional attack dice equal to your agility value to a maximum of 3 additional dice. At its base, this is a 2 attack dice missile, and it has a range 1 limitation.
Yeah, so on the right ships, like an A-Wing, TIE Advanced prototype, this allows you to make a range 1 attack. If you're taking push limit, you can have both target lock and focus to modify a 5 dice attack at range 1, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah, a big point there being you need a focus token to shoot it, but you don't need to spend the focus token to shoot it, so you've got built-in modification there. And if you end up not needing the focus token, you still got a focus token for defense.
I think the peak in efficiency we've seen on the torpedo end is plasma torpedoes, which comes in at 3 points for a 4 dice attack at range 2 to 3 that reads, attack target lock, spend your target lock and discard this card to perform an attack. If this attack hits, after dealing damage, remove 1 shield token from the defender.
Now, this is an important upgrade card for a couple reasons. It's got the same quantity of attack dice being rolled as proton torpedoes, but for 1 point cheaper. It doesn't have the built-in conversion that proton torpedoes has, but this does have a higher theoretical damage output, where if you're attacking a ship with a lot of shields, if you get all 4 hits through, you're going to deal an additional damage by taking that extra shield after the attack.
Right, so to get value out of plasma torpedoes, you do want some extra modification, as it's got none built in, and it's going to require you to spend that target lock. So you want to be able to still have a focus token and then guidance chips to convert a result. But that being said, it's pretty powerful, and especially as your first munition you fire, to be able to just remove all of their shields and then start following up with things like proton torpedoes, they're going to deal those critical results. It's a pretty powerful alpha strike.
We also saw a huge advance in Wave 11 in terms of missile accuracy and damage output in the form of cruise missiles. This is a 1-attack dice, range 2 to 3 missile for 3 points, and it reads, attack, target lock, discard this card to perform this attack. You may roll additional attack dice equal to the speed of the maneuver you executed this round to a maximum of 4 additional dice.
Yeah, so there you can roll 5 dice at range 2 to 3, which is very powerful. Very difficult to set up, though. We talked about the range restrictions where you want to move and still be within range 2 to 3. So if your opponent's able to get into range 1, you can't fire your cruise missile, which is not that hard to do if they anticipate you going speed 4 or 5.
But this can be used in combination with cards like Long Range Scanners or Deadeye, where you can have a little more versatility in when you can shoot and not need to depend on getting that target lock to fire these off at five dice.
Right, and it's also great if it's on your ships that are moving second, then they don't have to anticipate their opponent's maneuver as much with regards to target lock range.
Overall, these upgrade cards and these efficient torpedoes and missile upgrades have made Ordnance a really important part of the X-Wing metagame right now. And we expect them to be a persistent force in the game for the waves to come. Hey, listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We're getting ready for our October raffle for all our patrons. This month, we're giving away three prizes. The first one is a Ketsu Onyo alt art pilot card from a recent tournament kit. This is a really cool alt art card, and Ketsu Onyo is starting to be a little more relevant in the metagame right now, so this is a perfect time to crack out your Lancer class pursuit craft and get that out on the board. We're also giving away two sets of two copies of the Rebel, quote unquote, Veteran Instincts promo card. This was released in a tournament kit a while ago, and these are really cool alt art Veteran Instincts cards with a Rebel pilot on them. And Veteran Instincts is very relevant in the metagame right now, so having a couple extra copies is no bad thing.
Yeah, they're great if you want to set up some cruise missile strikes.
If you'd like to be eligible for these prizes in our October raffle, you need to become a patron of Radio TCX before the end of the month of September. You can do that by going to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today.
And now back to the cast.
So to cap off our discussion of torpedoes and missiles, we wanted to dive a little bit into how to use these upgrades effectively in your squads.
So you've loaded out your squad now. You've picked some missiles and torpedoes and some upgrade cards to assist them, whether it be modification or helping up the setup of it. But your work's not done there. You still have to work pretty hard to be able to fire them at the right target. And so actually, let's just start with there is first thing you gotta do is figure out the right ship to fire those munitions on.
Yeah, and there's some factors you want to consider here when deciding which ship you're going to target first with your ordnance. The first debate you have to have is, do I target the most threatening ship in my opponent's list, or do I target the hardest to kill ship in my opponent's list? Now, if these are the same ship, then that's a no-brainer, but sometimes you have to make a real decision here about who you want to focus fire on first.
Right, now say if we look at a list like Rebel Captain Nim and Corrin Horn, Nim's bomblets might be a big concern for your squad, but late game, you might not have the damage potential to push through on a regenerating Corrin Horn with R2-D2 getting shields back if you don't use your burst damage from your missiles and torpedoes on him early game.
So you have to really think about here, which one do I want to target? So in the case of like a Captain Nim and Corrin Horn combination, oftentimes putting damage through on a ship like Captain Nim, which is low agility, low defensive modification, might be a lot easier, and you're going to be able to use those torpedoes really effectively and push a lot of damage through. But you might need to opt to take on Corrin Horn early because he's a lot harder to handle in that late game. And even if you can kill Captain Nim, if you're not going to be able to kill that other ship, then you're not going to be winning this game.
Yeah, we've stressed target priorities before. But with missiles and torpedoes, it just becomes that much more important where you really only have that limited use, one or two shots if you have extra munitions, and they really have to count and go on the right target. So what I usually look at is which ship am I most likely to lose to if it persists. Sometimes it's the high damage output that my list just can't survive long term, and sometimes it's I need way to fire and spike damage to be able to take down this ace. Otherwise, my half-strength squad won't be able to bring it down.
Beyond that, when we're looking at lists where maybe the distinction between most threatening and hardest to kill isn't that obvious, you also want to look at the value of the attack based on the value of the target. So if you're facing off against a list where you have a strong ship paired up with a couple of twin laser turret Y-wings, sure, those Y-Wings might be easy enough to push damage through and kill, but they might not also be the wisest choice based on their relative point cost.
And the other end of that is if your target is, say, like a Rey pilot, those are usually coming around 60 points, and she has some ability to mitigate some of that attack where you might not get all of your hits to go through because she does have a decent amount of defensive modifications, but the damage you do to her, each of her hit points are worth a lot more than the Y-Wing's hit points.
So this is really the first debate you need to have, and I think the sum total of what we're trying to say is you want to really observe what your opponent's flying, and you got to determine long-term which is more likely to prevent me from winning this game, whether that's the ship that can do the most damage or that's the ship that's hardest to put damage on.
And after you pick the right target, you actually have to be able to fire the munition at them. So that means you got to manage your range control.
This can mean a couple different things depending on what upgrade cards are loaded out on your ship, but if we're looking at a traditional ordnance that requires you to have a target lock to fire it, you have to first look at that comparison between target lock range versus missile range.
Right, so you want to avoid the scenario where you move in range to take a target lock, and then your opponent moves, and they are now within range one, and you can't fire your range 2 to 3 concussion missile at them.
This is especially hard with lower pilot skill ordnance carriers. That's why you need to take cards like long-range scanners and Deadeye in order to give yourself more versatility there, where you don't need to necessarily even move into range to get a target lock in order to get into missile range.
And not only do you just need to get the target lock, but you also need to be able to keep the enemy ship in arc. And this is extra difficult on arc dodgy ships or just ships with any repositioning action, because unless you're near a Dauntless, if they get outside of your firing arc, you're not going to be able to fire that munition.
But here we can also see the value of repositioning actions even on low pilot skill ordnance carriers, things like Skurgs or like TIE bombers, where your repositioning value is different than it would be if you were a high pilot skill ship where you can react to your opponent. But having things like barrel rolls or boosts allows you to alter your position so you can not only try and control the range between you and your target ship, but you can also keep ships in arc over time.
Right, and so you want to be able to anticipate where they're going to land and kind of keep your firing arc in the middle of that so that they're not able to boost or barrel roll past that firing arc. It's worth mentioning that these hurdles are slightly different based off the size of your ship. So if you're a small base ship firing munitions, that range control is going to be a bit easier because you can go a lot slower with your maneuvers, but you have a narrower firing arc just because you have a smaller base. If you have a bigger base, it's going to be the inverse where you can't be as subtle with your movements, but you cast a lot wider firing arc, so it's going to be harder for enemy ships to reposition out of them.
And a lot of this comes down to practice and experience with these ships. So just because you're good with small base ships that carry ordnance, you're going to need to adjust your strategy to compensate for when you're using a large base ship that has some kind of ordnance on it, because they're going to feel very different when they hit the table.
And then this last bit with range control is that you want to make sure you are getting the maximum value out of your munitions. You want the most devastating attack possible. You don't want to have a range 3 attack against a ship with auto thrusters, giving them extra defensive capabilities. You want to get those auto thruster ships at range 2, if possible. It also means you want to try and avoid things like asteroids or debris fields or tactical jammer, things that are going to give your opponent's ship an extra green die.
Yeah, because even if you have the ideal setup with your ordnance where you're getting multiple sources of modification and you've got them within range, if they're stacked up with focus evade tokens, auto thrusters, and an asteroid between them, that's probably not a good opportunity for you to use your ordnance. So I kind of call this the wait for your moment idea here, where you have to evaluate, is this the correct opportunity to fire my ordnance now, or do I need to wait for a later opportunity? And this can be kind of tricky sometimes because there's some inherent risks involved in deciding not to fire your ordnance.
Right. Obviously, plan A is your ideal target lands within range of all of your munitions and you can focus fire it and try to wipe that ship off the board in one turn. But against a skilled opponent, they might not always make it that easy.
When we talk about how important focus fire is in X-Wing, shooting at the same ship, and that extends to shooting at the same ship at the same time. So if you enter a scenario where your ordnance ship is towards the lead of your squad, it has an opportunity to shoot, but your other ships are not going to be able to shoot at the target you want to, suddenly that makes their defensive tokens that much more valuable. Whereas if you can converge on a ship, even one with a lot of defensive modification, if you have multiple shots coming at it, or even better, multiple ordnance shots, you're going to be that much more effective for each shot after the first one.
Right, and actually, that brings up a great point of if you have the choice between firing some primary weapon attacks and a secondary torpedo or missile attack on the same target, it's better to have the primary attacks go first and try and whittle down their defensive tokens and then go in with the big dice attack, where you can force your opponent to have tough decisions on whether or not they want to spend their green tokens to mitigate 1 or 2 points of damage, when that might mean they might take 3 or 4 points of damage from a missile attack.
Now, this comes with the inherent risk. If you deny yourself an opportunity to shoot your ordnance just because your other ships aren't in range or your opponent has a lot of defensive token stacking, this can also open up opportunities where you might not be able to shoot that ordnance later on, whether it's due to the range closing in on you or your ship getting destroyed.
Right. So usually when I'm playing against an opponent with missiles or torpedoes, I usually tend to keep my optimal target. I know who they want to fire those missiles at, and I tend to keep that ship out of combat for at least a turn and give my opponent the suboptimal targets, because they can either choose to fire their munitions at the suboptimal targets and I get to save my ace ship that didn't want those missiles shot at them, or they can choose to save their missile, but then my ships get to whittle down that missile carrier, and there's the risk of it might not be able to survive long enough to be able to fire those munitions at my ace.
And I think the last point we should probably bring up is looking at intended target versus targets of opportunity. So when I say targets of opportunity, I mean sometimes you have already made your decision. You've determined which ship you want to shoot at first, the most threatening or the hardest to kill. You've got your options available to you, but suddenly the turn before you're going to do that, your opponent puts another ship in your ship's way, and you have a pretty good opportunity here to drop your ordnance on this new opportunity shot instead.
Right, and so here, if you see that your opponent has done something like I tend to do, if you're able to capitalize on that and assess that maybe the rest of their squad isn't in position and you can finish off a ship while maintaining minimal damage back, that you'll still have the full strength of your squad to finish off that difficult ship later, then it can, in many cases, be worth your while to fire those munitions at your target of opportunity.
But you also have to keep in mind that this may be a defensive strategy your opponent's using. They know which ship you're trying to target, whether they know it's the most threatening or you used long-range scanners to get a target lock on it. They might intentionally be more aggressive with their other ships, knowing that you've already kind of declared who you want to shoot at. So sometimes they might put a ship into a suboptimal position just because they would rather have you shoot that ship than the ship you intended to shoot initially.
For some lists, like if they shoot their munitions at my tankier targets and then, say, my Fen Rao gets to move into range one without any fear of missiles or torpedoes on his way in, then he's going to be near impossible for many lists to deal with at that point. And so usually beneficial for opponents to have, I found, the patience to hold off on those munitions and keep that threat active for me to have to consider that in all of my maneuvers. Don't make it easy for me by spending that munition early.
Hopefully you've taken something away from our discussion here. Picking the right target, controlling range, and waiting for that right moment to use your ordnance. These are just things we've learned over the course of playing this game for several years, and we hope we can use these pieces of advice to become a more effective and better X-Wing pilot. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you enjoy the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow our show on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why others might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Kirk, who said that the show was a good source for a short weekly fix of X-Wing.
Thanks, Kirk, and a huge thank you to everyone else who's already left a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.